When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. If this is the first time you're joining us on our YouTube channel, please hit that subscribe button and the bell icon to be alerted of future broadcasts. And do join us in the chat room for our discussion today. I'm joined now by Rivka Carr, who represents a new ride-hailing service that's just been launched in Johannesburg to take on market leaders Uber and Bolt. The service is called InDriver, and it has a unique twist. It allows you to bargain with the driver for the fare you end up paying. Rivka, welcome to the show. I believe InDriver was born in Russia. Who's behind it, and how many markets does it operate in today?
Hi, Duncan. Thanks for having me. Well, basically, InDriver was started in 2012. It was in a little town called Yakutsk in Russia. It was basically the brainchild of this Yakutskian student. It was around the festive season. And yes, at that time, there was a high demand and there were price surges with all the other cabs and taxis. And he just decided to have this blast in social media, who needs a ride from point A to point B. And ever since, just growing, the concept grew, and that's how InDriver was born. It was called Independent Driver at the time. And yeah, I think between 2013 and this week, we have 24 million users. And wow. The app is operational in Russia, in later part of Russia, in the US, Latin America, and now in Africa. And it's doing really well.
So you started, South Africa the first operation in Africa?
South Africa, no. We started with Tanzania, Arusha.
Oh, right. And
it was amazing, overwhelming response. And we launched in Cape Town. Cape Town was the first city in South Africa. And then Johannesburg, not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago. Also amazing success. Drivers are loving it. Passengers are in awe. Because, you know, with Johannesburg, there are lots of sort of e-hailing passengers that are regulars. Distances are further. So they're quite welcoming to this concept of offering their own fee.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you are coming into a very competitive market. Uber is pretty well established in South Africa. Its name is synonymous with internet ride hailing. And, of course, there's Taxify, which has recently been rebranded as Bolt. You're coming into a very competitive space. What are you going to be doing differently to perhaps take some market share away from those guys?
Funny you should mention that competition is healthy. A lot of our drivers are also, or who has registered with us, are also with other e-hailing apps. And so the concept is different. We are not like the other e-hailing apps. We offer, for example, 0% commission to our drivers for the first 6 months. Whereas with other e-hailing apps, it's about between 18 and 25% that they have to pay to their companies. InDriver is different in terms of the passenger offering the fare. With Johannesburg, for example, we have minimums. We have, if you go through the app, you download the app, you basically, as a passenger, you can offer your fare, but with limitations. Obviously, you can start at a particular point because you're obviously going to get those passengers who will take a chance and it's ridiculously priced. We have something that the other e-hailing apps don't have, and that's, you can see point B. You can see point A and you can see point B. So the driver can actually accept the ride based on, you know, where he's going. With other e-hailing apps, you can't see that. And they can only see it once they've accepted the trip.
So the big difference here, though, is that it allows you, unlike other e-hailing apps, to bargain between the driver and the prospective rider. So you can, as the rider, you can, as I understand it, put in an offer and say, this is how much I'm willing to pay to go from, I don't know, Sandton to Bryanston, for example. And then a driver has the ability to either haggle with that rider about a better price or to accept the price being offered by the rider. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's how it works. So basically the driver can also, you can raise it, they can bid, and they can haggle. And it's the most rewarding feeling once you've actually gotten, you know, you've placed your bid and the driver accepts it. And you actually just took a chance. You also have an estimate and you have an idea, okay, this is what it's going to cost. But it's on average is about between 30 and 40% less than other e-hailing apps.
In terms of the cost to the end user?
In terms of the cost, in terms of the passenger savings.
Hmm.
And at the same time, the driver saves as well, or earns more as well, because they're not paying anything for the first 6 months. After the first 6 months, it will be about between 5 and 8%.
So 6 to 8% of what? The cost of the trip?
Of the trip, each trip, 5 to 8%.
Okay. And are the drivers happy about this? You know, I'd imagine that this is putting downward pressure on their on the margins that they can earn. Mm-hmm. Are they happy about InDriver's entry into the market?
Well, so far it's been an overwhelming sensation in terms of positive feedback from the drivers. They're actually happy that there's another competitor in the market. It's something different. Of course, you're going to get, obviously they're saying that passengers are raising are offering bids that are way too low.
Hmm.
And this is why they came up with the minimums in terms of Joburg specifically. And that's working very well, you know, because there are lots of long-distance trips. The drivers, they're happy about it as far as I know.
So there are minimums in place, specifically in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. So
yes, there are minimums.
Okay. I mean, you don't have that in Cape Town?
Not at the moment. We are looking into it. We tried it with the longer distances.
Yes. Okay. And that's just, I suppose it also helps the riders have a better sense of what the cost is of actually doing a drive. Otherwise, they're going to put in offers which are below cost.
Of course. And that obviously is going to happen.
Yes.
And you're going to get, who's going to take it, who's going to accept it. Because look, if they're on their way home or on their way from a trip, you know, and that's the beauty of it.
Hmm.
Accept it or decline it. They're not, you know, forced to do anything.
Yeah. So you're in Cape Town and Joburg now. Do you have plans to launch in other South African cities?
In the other major cities, yes. We will. It's coming soon. So, yeah.
Okay. What's the sort of timelines we're looking at there and which cities are likely to be next?
Just the major cities will probably also just, I'm not sure which ones exactly, but it is coming soon.
Okay. All right, so take us through how it works exactly. I'd install the InDriver app. I presume it runs on iPhone and on Android. Is that right?
Android.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you'd
App Store.
You'd open the app, and then how does it work? How would you summon a driver? How would you put in an offer?
Okay. The beauty is that we InDriver is a 2-in-1 app. So within the one app, you have both for driver and you can switch to passenger.
Okay.
So as a passenger, you will download the app. From the Play Store or Google Play, or the App Store, sorry. And then basically you would upload your picture, your profile picture in real time. There are verification screens that we go through. We quite strict on that. The passenger would then load his ID or passport, and then basically, you know, complete all your personal details, and then you can actually start. And then for the driver, with each country, there are different verification requirements, so the documents they would require is all sort of, again, online, on the app, so drivers can register on the app, and then, yeah, it takes about between 24 to about 48 hours if they have all their documentations and would have to go through the verification process.
Are there interviews? Yeah. I mean, do you do vetting of the potential drivers to ensure that...
Yes, we do.
Okay. How does that work? Do they meet you in person or...?
No. Everything is done either telephonically or via our support, via our recruitment center.
Mm-hmm.
So we would call the driver and they would upload the documents. And, you know, if there are any issues, we would contact them and they would have to resubmit. Yeah, everything is done online as well.
All right. So I'd imagine that drivers have multiple apps installed on their phones. So I presume that many of them would be using Uber and Bolt and InDriver.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find, how do you incentivize them to take a ride to offer a ride using the InDriver app as opposed to, say, the Uber or Bolt apps? Is it purely a monetary decision on the part of the driver? And how do you ensure there are enough drivers available at any given time for riders?
Well, you can keep all the apps on at the same time.
Sure.
And that's what we do. So when it's quiet times, you know, they're sort of between their various apps, they will choose sort of which is best for them at that time. With InDriver, they are not forced to accept any trips that are sort of within the area. They can see point B, so they can then decide, okay, I'm going to take this time. So yes, most of the drivers do keep all the apps on at the same time.
Yeah. Does it take a lot longer if you're using InDriver to get a ride, particularly if you're going to haggle over price? I mean, do you spend 15 minutes going backwards and forwards between driver and rider before you actually reach an agreement and the driver decides he's going to come and pick you up?
Look, I've never had that problem. And there are little life hacks. I suppose if you're in a rush, you can add that extra $50. Then you know, okay, that's appealing to drivers.
Right.
They want to take this trip. So I suppose it takes a bit of practice, and you know, you can basically, you know what the estimate would be, and the driver would, he can counter your offer. So then you would say, okay, but that was actually silly of me to even offer that price. And then, yeah, you guys can start haggling, and eventually you'll get to a price that works for both of you.
Yeah.
And it's based on the time and how far the driver is. The app is quite detailed with regards to how far the driver is, how long it will take, and you can specify it'll take between 10 and 15 minutes, and he'll increase it by 30 rand. And then we'll both be happy because I was prepared to do that.
Yeah,
it's been overwhelming. It's best feeling though.
So how long has it been in operation in Johannesburg now, and how many riders have you had so far?
In terms of Johannesburg, I cannot say because, I know it's been, all I know is that it's been overwhelmingly successful so far. We launched about 2 weeks ago, on the 16th of May. Was our official launch date. So, yeah, and feedback was really quite positive in terms of how many riders we've had and the feedback from both driver and rider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I correct me if I'm wrong here, but I understand that the drivers will only accept cash at the moment, or has that changed?
At the moment, yes. For the first 6 months, we are only accepting cash trips. The drivers seem to love it. But obviously, you know, a lot of drivers have said that it is dangerous. We are looking into a payment system in future.
Okay. Do you offer payment in Cape Town via, say, credit card?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So the 6 months, we launched officially in Cape Town at the end of February. And so that would finish at the end of August.
Okay.
Yeah, so after each 6 months, we'll review it and have a look at it.
And do you accept card payments in other territories in which you operate?
As far as I know, different payment systems in different countries.
Right.
Yeah, so we need to still confirm what's going to be happening in South Africa.
Yes, yes. Okay, I'd imagine this has a positive impact. Certainly this ability to bargain over the price can have a very positive impact when there are moments of peak demand. And we see companies like Uber implementing things like surge pricing. And we've seen prices go up massively, after a concert, for example, and everyone's trying to call a taxi on their e-hailing app. Have you got any evidence or examples of what impact your app has on the sort of surge pricing after a major event?
So this is actually why, this is how InDriver was born.
Yes.
It's around this time where just prices were surging and, you know, the passenger has no control over that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You end up, getting to your destination and it's an unbelievable amount of money that you never budgeted for example. So InDriver, I think this is why people are loving it. People are gravitating towards our app because regardless of traffic and delays getting out of the parking lot after a concert, for example, that does not impact your price as a passenger.
It must have some impact, though, because there's going to be a shortage of drivers no matter which app you're using, including InDriver. So I would imagine that the drivers are then in a better position to be able to negotiate over those fees.
Of course.
Yeah, so there would be a price rise across all apps.
Yeah.
But the ability to haggle is still in the hands of the consumer and the driver versus the algorithms, which I suppose the computer algorithms which get applied in the case of other e-hailing apps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, obviously, if you know there are, quite a few drivers around and, then definitely you'll increase your price.
Yes.
Up to you and up to the driver again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about safety, because I know that's a particular concern in this country, and I know some of the other e-hailing apps have spent a considerable amount of money dealing with security. I recently had to catch an Uber in Pretoria from the Gautrain station, and there was a heavy security guard presence because of issues around metered taxi drivers. And, you know, there's a report just about every other week about a crime incident involving a ride-hailing service. How are you going about protecting both your drivers and your riders?
Okay, so with InDriver, on our app, we actually have a little safety feature for both passengers and drivers. Generally, as you get into the car, or even if a driver's on his way collecting or getting to his trip to pick up his passenger, he can share his ride with a friend or his partner. He can actually, before he gets to collect the passenger. Passengers as well, they share their ride once they get in. We have a safety feature on the app where you can basically, you know, use that feature and basically get hold of the police or emergency services, you know, in real time at that moment. And again, the sharing route that works as well. So we the app is geared towards safety, and with the verification process and all of those things, we always try to constantly, you know, upgrade and keep our safety features upgraded.
Just take us a bit more through how that safety button works. What happens when I press it in an emergency?
So in an emergency, we press it, and basically, as we get to the closest emergency services around you within that in real time, in that given moment.
So does it connect to an InDriver call center that then routes that call?
To the police, to the emergency services.
Directly?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so if I press that button, is it routing through to what, 10111, or what is exactly it doing?
Let me just see if I have it. Yeah, just basically, it will call the police. It will go straight to the police and emergency services.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Before I let you go, Rivka, tell me a bit about we've seen the conflict between e-hailing drivers and the metered taxi industry in South Africa. It's been a point of contention for a number of years now, and we've seen sporadic incidents of violence, including outside the Gautrain station in Sandton here in Johannesburg, and I think there have been incidents in Cape Town as well. You're fairly new in the market. You were launched in Cape Town back in February, and only a few weeks ago here in Johannesburg. Have your drivers had any trouble with the metered taxi industry, and how are you dealing with any violent threats that might occur?
Okay, so basically, with any newcomer in the market, there's always going to be, you know, scare taxis and stuff. But we've been quite fortunate so far. We have a well-trained support center. So any incidents of maybe hijacking or whatever, or any incidents involving driver or passenger, we have a 24/7 support center that you can email or from your app, chat to them directly in real time should any incidents occur. Safety is of paramount importance to InDriver, and we're constantly trying to evolve and sort of, you know, with regards to the situation to improve on it. So, yeah, we have that 24/7 support center that deals with these issues.
Mm. How big is the team, and what are your expansion plans? I know you've said you're going to expand into other South African cities in time,
yeah.
But how big is the InDriver team here in South Africa, and how do you see that team growing in the coming months?
Well, our team is it's quite substantial. We because we have our online support. Again, we have a support system, support department, and it's growing. Because obviously, our drivers are growing, and we are growing within South Africa. So it's an extensive team, and we have grown, and we look forward to growing in future.
Great. Well, before I let you go, what are your ambitions? Maybe just take us through where you see InDriver growing to in the ride-hailing service market in South Africa, say 3 years from now.
Oh, wow. Based on statistics and how things are going, I think InDriver has a very solid, good future within South Africa. People are really loving the app. Rides are increasing, passengers are requesting more, and we're getting more positive feedback. If you'll see, once you've downloaded the app, you'll see daily it's actually increasing. I mean, 2 weeks ago it was 22 million users, and today it's 24 million users. So it's constantly increasing, and people are gravitating towards InDriver more so. because of the weather, you know, because of those sorts of things. So, yeah, it's been, I think, within the next few years. We'll see.
All right. Good. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
Thanks, Duncan.